Good morning. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, and whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Elaine Yaley Bowen, and it's my privilege to serve as your worship leader for today's service. I am joined by Worship Associate Eric Van Bars, our Music Director Hal Walker, and our Religious Education Director Colleen Taylor. Of a most immediate nature is after second service today is undeck the halls as we bring the Christmas season to a close with today's service and with the decorations. So all hands on deck would be helpful. However, the most important announcement is right here in your order of service. On behalf of our Board of Trustees and Moderator Danny Beal, everyone is most cordially invited to the installation of our settled minister, the Reverend Stephen Protzman. It is Saturday at 2 p.m. at the United Church of Christ. That's where we have the service auction. You were just there at the beginning of December. And there's a reception to follow. As Unitarian Universalists, we light a flame within a chalice as a symbol of sanctuary and safety, to unite us in our worship as a sign of life's beauty and wonder, and to remind us of our ongoing search for the light of truth within us and among us. This morning's chalice lighter is Meredith Wakefield. Please join together in the words for lighting the chalice. They are in your order of service. Flame, friend of our most ancient ancestors, we kindle you now to make you visible in this time. Yet, in truth, you burn always in the unique worth of each person, in the imagination, in the turning of the heart to sorrow or joy, in the call to hope and in the call to justice. Burn bright before us, burn bright within us.
Bright morning stars are rising. Bright morning stars are rising. Bright morning stars are rising. Oh,
I just had an epiphany. Today is Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone, and a Happy New Year. Because centuries ago, the Christmas celebration used to be held on January 6th. And then in the 16th century, the Gregorian calendar did a holiday reset, and Christmas went back for 13 days. But many have kept the old traditions, giving December 25th the name of New Christmas Day, and January 6th today, Old Christmas Day, with exactly 12 days in between. And then in 1601, a partridge got caught in a pear tree, and you know the rest. 12 days of Christmas. But even today, countries like Russia and Ethiopia, where Orthodox believers celebrate Christmas on the 6th day of January, still celebrate today. When I was growing up, my Dutch grandparents observed January 6th as Old Christmas, and we weren't allowed to take down any decorations until after January 6th, so it's apparent that we're doing this today. It's a custom I still struggle with in my adulthood. Then, when I was growing up, later on and as an adult, I also found out that Epiphany is known as Three Kings Day, something we didn't practice in our family, but something I discovered during a January trip to New Orleans where I nearly chipped my tooth on a small plastic Jesus. But now all these holiday traditions comfort me, because I've always felt that the goodwill and the joy of the holiday season just ends way too soon. But today, we celebrate the last day of Christmas, and it will end, and then Carnival begins, a lot of revelry ahead. So now, as my blinking LED light bulbs are packed away for another year, I can once again enjoy the natural light of an evening sky as I look up into find our own magical stars, because living in a relatively small town gives me access to seeing many stars on a clear winter's night. So, in the bleak midwinter ahead, making a wish on a distant star is a great way to beat the postpartum holiday slump. Because we all know, when you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. Come, let us make wishes together.
We are here together this morning after the light of the moon and stars, and now in the light of the sun and the reflection of our beautiful chalice flame. Let us take a few moments in silence to quiet our minds, open our hearts, and contemplate that spark of the divine that lives within us all. Please join me now in the spirit of prayer or meditation, as is your practice. Spirit of the sky, spirit of all that is not understood, yet held in the reverie of creation. This morning we speak of stars, the star of wonder, the many stars of wonder. We are reminded when we look up into the night sky to see each of those tiny sparks of light that all of us here on earth are equal under that canopy of light. May we know the same love. May we know that each of us shines our own light. And all the light together makes the universe a bright and beautiful place. Amen.
By and by, stars shining, number one, number two, number three, good Lord, by and by. By and by, good Lord. By and by, stars shining, number four, number five, number six, good Lord, by and by, good Lord, by and by, stars shining. Number, number seven, number eight, number nine, number ten. Good Lord, by and by, by and by, by and by. Good Lord, by and by. Well, I've been trying something lately since my mother told me, baby, you got something special deep inside. So I've been looking everywhere. I dance, I write, I sing, I swear I'm tearing down my tendency to hide. 'Cause she says, go your own way to shine, go your own way. Let your heart build a fire, don't go out on your own, and then come back with a poem and add your light to mine, and together we'll shine. The words I use to start this song, I tell myself there's something wrong with everything I put down on the page. But then my heart, it starts to sing. The words are coming fast. They're bringing on such passion, pleasure, joy, and pain. And they say, go your own way to shine, go your own way. Let your heart build a fire, don't be afraid. Go out on your own, back with a poem and add your light to mine, and together we'll shine. Even though it's gonna be hard, even though you might get scared, don't walk away from what you're feeling. Gotta stay with the pen on the page till the words come face to face. So you can free them. I've heard that there's a place I've never been before. They say it's like a distant shore past everything I've ever known, where all the songs and poems are stored beneath the music and the words, where every kind of finds its form. It's where you go your own way to shine, go your own way. Let your heart build a fire, don't be afraid. Go out on your own, then come back with a poem and add your light to mine. And together we'll
shall shine together. This service was originally performed on January 4th, 2015 by the Reverend Stephen Protzman in Iowa City, Iowa. He has loaned it to us today in his absence, so Eric and I will be speaking his words today. The Christmas season ends today, which is known as Epiphany or Twelfth Night, the 12 days of Christmas. On Epiphany, Christians celebrate the story of the Magi, who followed a star to visit the infant Jesus in Bethlehem. Epiphany also means a significant spiritual discovery and a journey of the Spirit. As we begin or have begun this new year, are we open to life's invitation to follow our own star and the adventures and discoveries awaiting us?
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard all this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and called together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own countries by another road.
Today, the 12th day of Christmas, Epiphany, is also known as the Feast of the Three Kings, or Adoration of the Magi. The story is about wise men, or magi, somewhere in the east, perhaps it was Persia, who knew astronomy, and they watched the stars for signs and omens. They saw a brilliant star in the sky the night that Jesus was born. They followed that star to Jerusalem, where they consulted with King Herod, and then they visited Jesus and Mary. They worshiped the child and offered him the exotic and precious gifts they had brought. So, how many wise men were there? The gospel writer doesn't say, but it's believed that there were more than one. People have long assumed that there were three because of the three gifts. Some Eastern Orthodox traditions say that there were 12 or more. Sometime much later in writings, the three wise men became kings and were given the names Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. The story of the three wise men occurs only in the Gospel of Matthew. Luke, the other account of Jesus' birth, says nothing about stars, animals, or magi. So when you see a Christmas nativity or crush scene with shepherds, angels, wise men, camels, sheep, cows, it is likely a combination of the stories that are found in Luke and in Matthew. And as with many of the gospel stories, it is highly improbable that the visit of the wise men actually occurred. In 12 days, they would have had to have traveled across as many as 1,200 miles of desert that was burning hot by day and freezing cold by night. The star over Bethlehem would have defied the laws of celestial motion, rising in the east, moving west to Jerusalem, and then turning south to Bethlehem to shine on a particular dwelling in a particular town. The four Gospels, two of which don't even offer an account of Jesus' birth, were not meant to be literal. So when someone says to you, "That's the gospel truth," you are entitled to raise at least an eyebrow about their claim. They were written to make a convincing argument for Christianity, and each gospel was created for a specific audience who would respond favorably to a certain style of storytelling. In the case of the Matthew gospel, the writer sought to convince Jewish Christians, that Jesus was the Messiah or King they were waiting for, and they needed to prepare for his return. The gifts the wise men supposedly brought were symbols of Jesus' kingship. Myrrh was commonly used as an anointing oil, frankincense as a perfume, and gold represented great wealth. These three gifts also had a spiritual meaning. Gold was a symbol of kingship on earth. Frankincense was a symbol of deity, and myrrh, an embalming oil, as a symbol of death. The Matthew gospel writer also made many references to the Jewish scriptures, especially Isaiah, which his audience would have understood well. But to reject the Epiphany story as nothing more than religious propaganda is to miss an opportunity for spiritual understanding. The word Epiphany, also meaning manifestation of the divine or sudden realization or revelation of insight. It's a life-changing moment, something we might call an aha moment, when we have a new understanding of what being human is all about, an insight that changes us in some way. What the Epiphany story doesn't tell us is what happened when the wise men found the child and his mother, or what happened afterward. I wonder if their lives were changed when they encountered this divine child. Legends say that the three wise men became Christians and were martyred for their faith. They are considered saints in the Western Church. As we encounter the story of Epiphany as Unitarian Universalists, how might it change our lives? These following words by the Reverend Thomas Schmidt offer us an opportunity to find a more universal meaning to this story.
A star shines brightly overhead. The wise men from the east arrive, proclaiming to be following a star, and the star has led them to Jerusalem and finally on to Bethlehem. For countless centuries, people have believed that the stars above could predict the future, that events in the vault of heaven had a direct connection to events of the daily lives of desperate women and men attempting to make sense of their own time here on earth. What do you suppose the wise men were looking for when they set out on their journey? What were they seeking as they followed the shining of a distant star? What was it that they actually discovered on their journey? The story only tells us that they paid homage to the infant Jesus and gave him gifts. But when I insert myself into the story, when I become one of the travelers, I can imagine the shock of finding that the culmination of my long, arduous journey was a newborn infant resting in a manger. Then it hits me like a ton of bricks and I fall to my knees. The truth I was seeking is in the shining eyes of that child, the same light that shines from my own eyes. To follow the shining of a star is to follow one's own light. We can spend a lifetime following distant stars, but the truth will remain as simple and as profound as this. The light is in you. It is in me. It is all around us. But we do not see. We refuse to see. The energy of the sun and stars is in us. It is us. And we are integral participants in the universal story of existence. And yet, we wander the deserts following the light of a star, and we are looking for nothing more, nothing less than ourselves.
We wander life's deserts following the light of a star, and we are looking for nothing more, nothing less than ourselves. Perhaps the greatest work and the greatest challenge of being human is discovering who we truly are. To Thomas Schmidt asked in our last reading, what do you suppose the wise men were looking for when they set out on their journey? What were they seeking as they followed the shining of a distant star? So many of the world's greatest stories are about a person who goes on a journey to discover who they are. How many have read The Alchemist by Pablo Coelho? A few people have. If you've not read the book, then you're about to get a spoiler alert here. The Alchemist is the story of Santiago, a young man in the Andalusian hills of Spain who became a shepherd because he wanted to travel. He had a dream in which he was transported to the great pyramids of Egypt and was told he would find there a treasure he is seeking. So he sold his sheep, sailed to Tangier in Africa, but a thief steals his money, and he goes to work for a crystal merchant for an entire year to earn the money back to go home. As he's ready to return to Spain, he meets an Englishman who's in search of a 200-year-old alchemist in the desert. Santiago joins a caravan with him to go across the desert. At an oasis, he meets Fatima, the love of his life. He also meets a number of other characters, a king, a gypsy woman, and the alchemist, all of whom teach him valuable lessons and help guide him on his journey. He finally reaches the Great Pyramids, where his great epiphany takes place. Quote, the boy climbed the dunes slowly. A full moon rose against the starry sky. It had been a month since he had set forth from the oasis. The moon fell on the desert silence and on a man's journey in search of treasure. When he reached the top of the dune, his heart leapt. There, illuminated by the light of the moon and the brightness of the desert, stood the solemn and majestic pyramids of Egypt. The boy fell to his knees and wept. If he wanted to, he could now return to the oasis, go back to Fatima, and live his life as a simple shepherd. He had learned all he needed to know and had experienced everything he might have dreamed of. End quote. As the story concludes, Santiago makes another stunning discovery. The treasure of gold and jewels he was seeking is actually buried near his home in Spain. But much of the greater value are the treasures he's discovered within himself. He learned to listen to his heart, to trust what he hears, and he becomes so open to the soul of the universe that he converses with the wind and the sun. Listen as Eric reads an excerpt from the story in which Santiago is talking with the alchemist about his struggle and his search.
My heart is afraid it will have to suffer, the shepherd boy told the alchemist one night as they looked up at the moonless sky. Tell your heart that the fear of suffering is worse than the suffering itself, and that no heart has ever suffered when it goes in search of its dreams, because every second of the search is a second's encounter with God and with eternity. Every second of the search is an encounter with God, the boy told his heart. When I have been truly searching for my treasure, every day has been luminous, because I've known that every hour was a part of the dream that I would find it. When I have been truly searching for my treasure, I've discovered things along the way that I never would have seen had I not had the courage to try things that seemed impossible for a shepherd to achieve. That night, the boy slept deeply, and when he awoke, his heart began to tell him things that came from the soul of the world. Everyone on earth has a treasure that awaits them, his heart said. We, people's hearts, seldom say much about those treasures because people no longer want to go in search of them. We speak of them only to children. Later, we simply let life proceed on its own direction towards its own fate. But unfortunately, very few follow the path laid out for them, the path to their personal legends and to happiness.
I'm not convinced that there is one path laid out for every person. There seems a certain arrogance in believing that the universe has conspired to create a destiny that each of us must follow, and that we won't find happiness until we discover our personal legends. And yet, it seems that the unique combination of gifts and passions, interests and talents, and even genetics may shape to a large degree who each of us is meant to be. If we are fortunate, perhaps the right opportunities present themselves, or we are lucky enough to create them out of the circumstances in which we find ourselves at any given time. It may be that after too many setbacks or disappointments, we've let go of our dreams and we no longer listen to our hearts. Perhaps, as Coelho says, we have given up and let life simply proceed. Such an approach is certainly safer than taking the risks that come with searching for treasure. Although, as Coelho says, the fear of suffering is worse than the suffering itself. He also offers us the reassurance that no heart suffers when it goes in search of its dreams. It's the start of a new year, nothing more than the change of a number. But we have invested it with a treasure, the gift of being able to start again, to open one's heart once more and live more fully. Mark Twain once said of this time of year that now is the accepted time to make your regular annual good resolutions. Next week, you can begin paving hell with them as usual. Some of us make resolutions. We ask ourselves what we want to do differently this time around. This will be the year we lose 20 pounds, take a trip to Europe, find the perfect new job or new mate or whatever. Well, these may be good goals. I wonder if they are only symptoms of a deeper yearning. What dreams lay buried in our own hearts? What is it we are truly looking for in our own lives? Where will the stars in the sky lead us if we are willing to follow them? What is the true treasure awaiting us, and are we willing to seek it out? Saying yes to life's invitation to search for our treasure means we are willing to face the risks and the unknowns that come with any adventure. The three wise men faced a long, dangerous journey to experience the divine in their lives, to kneel before the presence of light that they saw in that baby. Santiago had to be willing to leave behind his life as a shepherd, the familiar hills of Spain he knew so well, the comfort of routines, even the voices of his family telling him that life is good. Everything you want or need is right here in front of him. He is tempted so many times to return to the friendly, the safe, the familiar. But the time came for the wise men and Santiago to face their fears and begin their journey, knowing it would change them. This morning, Mary Oliver's poem, The Journey, is our invitation to face our own fears and begin our journey. One day, You finally knew what you had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. "Mend my life," each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. We wander life's deserts, following the light of a star, and we are looking for nothing more, nothing less than ourselves. What dreams lay buried in our own hearts? What is it we are looking for in our own lives? Where will the stars in the sky lead us if we are willing to follow them? Let us sit in quiet reflection for a few moments as we contemplate these questions and following our own star. As we bring our time together to a close, I ask you that this evening you step outside in the dark and look up into the night sky and let that starlight shine within you. The words of benediction are by Vera Nazarian, an Armenian-Russian author, artist, and publisher, who says, "When you reach for the stars, you are reaching for the farthest thing out there. When you reach deep into yourself, it is the same thing, but in the opposite direction. If you reach in both directions, you will have spanned the universe." And now, as we contemplate following our own stars, let us go forth in peace and in joy to continue inspiring love, seeking justice, and growing in community. Amen. Blessed be.